As the film industry booms in our city, it's not uncommon to see zombies and evil creatures walking down Atlanta streets. Fortunately, those decaying body parts are of the synthetic variety. Some people report seeing goat demons partaking in a witch's ceremony. That's the case for James Sizemore's more recent short film, Goat Witch, which takes place in the same monster universe as his feature film, The Demon's Rook. For this week's edition of 24FPS, Sizemore joins producer Gabby Watts to talk about monsters. A warning to sensitive listeners, these stories are not for the faint of heart or weak of stomach.
Now the doorway has opened. And hell is hungry.
I've always been influenced by creatures and monsters ever since I was a kid. I think one of my first family portraits was of me and my family all as skeletons. So I've just kind of always had like a tendency towards the dark, but I've always also tried to look at the fun side of it, you know, the colorful side of it, sort of like taking nightmares and making them into something enjoyable almost. My writing process is—it comes from an idea, a feeling that I've had, and some imagery. Very simple. Usually, there's a creature and colors. I tie it all back into this mythology that I've been working on over the years. Basically, it all centers around the idea that there is this underworld that I call the Dark Womb, that all of the gods and goddesses and deities, all of the creatures reside in, and they're evil. There are righteous ones. It's like, it's everything. It's all like, there's no heaven or hell. There's just this center of the universe kind of place. And there's usually someone in the story that's able to tap into that world, that alternate reality. And that usually brings about some sort of evil.
So who are some of the characters that you have developed there who are either in your films or who will maybe appear at a future time?
One of my favorites, which we actually haven't turned into a movie yet, is Orsabas Atrox, the god of Earth, actually, and it's sort of reminiscent of Lucifer or something, sort of character with like big ram horns and a skull mask that covers up his face. And when you take off the mask, it's there's like tentacles that come out of this mouth, and that's one of my favorites. And then I also am a big fan of Yamoan the Seer, this three-eyed goat spirit that actually portrayed in Goat Witch, one of my most recent short films.
Earth God, Earth.
I have like a group of friends, like a core group of friends that we all collaborate when we're coming up with ideas for this mythology. We've been working on it for about 10 years, and we've come up with like Galrok and, you know, this like giant deity that like floats around in space, and Gehera, the Dark Mother, which is mentioned in a lot of our stories. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's like this whole list of characters and deities that I hope to work into my screenplays in the future.
And horror films or monster films, there's, you know, the dynamic of good and evil. So where does good and evil come into it all?
You know, it's hard to say. There's a really thin line separating them, because some of the characters in some stories, the way I write them, they're depicted in more of a positive light. And in other stories, they're depicted in more of an evil light. There's never really any of them that are just like obviously like super righteous and good and never doing evil. I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice in the mythos and a lot of darkness, but from that darkness, good things come. It's kind of like in Demon's Rook, my first movie, Dimwos was the demon shaman that took the boy at the beginning into his world to raise him up as a demon, as this protector of the cosmos. But he does some bad things to get him there. Like, he kills his parents, he sacrifices his parents so that the boy can cross through the portal. And the boy doesn't know about that, so he keeps a secret from him. So it's kind of all over the place in morals. It's hard to really like pinpoint them, whether they're good or evil. I've always kind of had a hard time deciding.
So they're just like people.
Yeah.
Just with stranger faces.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there are some characters. I mean, it is fun to play around with that evil stereotype and just get as evil as you can possibly get. Just make the bad guy that's like so awful you just love to hate him, you know? I mean, that's fun to do, and I've definitely done that. I'm actually working on a screenplay right now a werewolf script, and the main bad guy is just like the most despicable character you could possibly imagine, and he's invoking all of these demons from the dark womb that are just, you know, the worst of the worst. So I do you know, like to mess around with that too, but I always like to go back to the riding the line with it, because it's just, it is interesting, you know.
Have you put yourself somewhere in there? Are you the whole thing?
I don't know. I mean, I like to think of myself within this universe as a small wizard that just kind of lives in the woods and just can't help but create, because it's just a habit. I can't quit. There's a great big monster, I think, inside all of us. Lots of monsters, actually. And I think, for me, it's a very healthy thing to be able to express that in a fun way, to be able to, like, let loose those monsters. And it's a great therapeutic thing. I think it all comes from a place of joy. Like a lot of the people I meet in these film festival circuits are just, like, the nicest people you'll ever meet. And I think it's because they have a healthy way of expressing themselves with all this stuff.
You're self-taught with makeup and these effects that you have been making. So how did you learn that, and what skills from your other artistic endeavors did you use to kind of develop these crazy effects?
I've been a painter for all of my life, and you know, my parents are potters. So I've always played around with clay ever since I was a kid. So sculptures come pretty naturally to me. So making the effects, when I started teaching myself that, it wasn't too tricky in the creative part, but the mold making aspect was where I really had to teach myself. It's like buckle down and read up. It would have been nice to have had a mentor to walk me through it. I wasted a lot of money for the first year of doing it.
So for the violence in the films, you just have to like creatively come up with ways to make something horrible.
Oh man, the gore. You know, the gore isn't my favorite part of it all. I definitely enjoy some of the more ridiculous ones, you know, where like there's just like buckloads of blood just coming out. It's it kind of reminds me of the old samurai movies and stuff. I really like that a lot. But I usually get help with the gore. I get other people to come on, and I'll tell them what I'm wanting to see and how it needs to be done, and then they'll take care of the, at least as of late, that's how we've been doing it. In the early stages, it was a lot of just trial and error, figuring out, okay, well, if I put this here and I stick this blood tube underneath their neck here and put a latex patch here, and then I pump the blood pump just at the right time, it'll look good, you know? And there's a lot of trial and error in that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, from the clips that I've watched, it seems you do really like the skin being eaten off.
Yeah, the skin rips are pretty effective. And you know, they're pretty easy too. There's something about, like, you know, seeing someone's like skin getting like stretched and pulled like taffy, and then blood just shooting out. That's just, I don't know. It's kind of painterly. To anyone out there who is thinking about getting into the movie industry and hasn't really felt it yet, may I say, you might want to pick another profession if you're a fan of sleep or a stress-free lifestyle, because it is very stressful and you don't get a lot of sleep, and the deadlines are usually pretty intense, and the amount of work that is expected to come out of you is usually way more than a person is ever meant to be capable of performing. I mean, for instance, with Bad Blood, our most recent project, I had 8 weeks to make a monster, like a full bodysuit. And I really only had one person helping me, my wife, who is my mold maker at the time. And we, on average, would pull 20-hour days and no days off. For that whole 8 weeks, we didn't get a day off. I think there was one time that we worked in the studio for 90 hours. She got a 5-hour sleep break at one point, and then we traded off, and then I got a 5-hour sleep break. It was insane. We weren't on the planet. It's funny because every time you do it, you think to yourself, I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to do this again. And then you see the finished product and you see it, you know, on set, you know, walking around alive, like this monster you've created, and like the rush, the feeling you get from seeing that is, it's like, I feel like Frankenstein, you know, I feel like I brought this thing to life, and it's such a intense, wonderful feeling that you just got to keep doing it. I got to keep doing it again.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in. This has been really interesting.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.